Good morning and welcome to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority, broadcasting from British Columbia's capital city and rebroadcasting on community and co-op radio stations in the Kootenays and Prince George. My name is Bob Russell. I'll be your host today. I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, John Jurisic, Harbor Digital Media owner, past president of the Greater Victoria Chamber of Commerce, current board member of the BC Chamber of Commerce. So, the London 2012 Summer Olympic Games come to a close later today, and Victoria-based and trained athletes were often center stage in the Canadian efforts at these games, just as they were in Beijing. On today's show, we are going to be talking to some of the people who helped make that possible about the role of sport in the economy and society, asking whether sport is a legitimate focus for our scarce public resources. In our second hour, Mayor Stu Young of Langford will be here to tell us about what he's been doing in this regard in the Western communities. Later this hour, we'll be talking to Clint Hamilton, Director of Athletics at the University of Victoria, and Dr. Peter Rahor, Dean of the Center for Sport and Exercise Education at Camosun College. But right now, Hugh McDonald, Executive Director of Sport Host Victoria, joins us in the studio. Hugh has been integrally involved with many of the sporting events hosted by Victoria, including the Commonwealth Games, FIFA Under 21, the World Curling Championships, and the Rugby Canada program. Welcome to the show, Hugh.
Good morning, Bob.
Tell us a little bit about Sport Host and what it does.
Well, Sport Host promotes sport tourism, which is sport-related travel to Victoria. Mm-hmm. The sport-related travel has received the label of sport tourism in the last 10 years, I would say. It has become, according to the Canadian Sport Tourism Alliance based in Ottawa, the fastest-growing segment of the tourism industry, $3.6 billion annually in spending by visitors coming to Canada. And we operate an agency that is a community membership organization, and many of the suppliers to travel are involved as members. Of course, we're focusing on sport, and with the number of events that annually we can attract to Victoria means in that the economic impact as a result of travel to Victoria and those suppliers participating with the events that are being hosted annually, but $75 million comes to Victoria as a result of sport tourism.
So are we talking about, you know, the tourism or the economic spinoffs that occur from hosting events, or are we also talking about attracting people to Victoria to engage in you know, what might be called recreation or other activities? I mean, is Sport Host doing both, or is it just doing one or the other?
Sport Host very specifically is involved in attracting events that will attract both spectators and competitors to our region.
Okay.
And so our focus is very much on the travel-related part of that, but the environment of Victoria and what makes it easy to attract events to our region is environmentally it is suited for very specific sports. Mm-hmm. And the outdoors, you know, we're attracting top elite athletes from across the country to come and train in Victoria. Mm-hmm. Those folks become role models mm-hmm. for the youngsters. Mm-hmm. So we cross over into the health area of and promoting activities for youngsters who would see somebody like Simon Whitfield mm-hmm. who really turned the youth in this community onto the sport of triathlon. There mm-hmm. was very little triathlon going before he won his gold medal in 2000 in this area. And as a result of his success, so many kids are now involved. And as you probably mm-hmm. are aware, you know, I think at least 2/3 of the team that went to London Olympics were from Victoria.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, you know, how this relates to, you know, the athletes that were representing us in London who were from Victoria, and then maybe go from there into, you know, what the spinoffs are in the community. Tell us about some of those athletes. You mentioned Simon Whitfield. I, for one, have to say I was not turned on to triathlon because it just looks like a lot of hard work.
I'm a constantly in training triathlete, just for listeners to know.
Oh, okay. Thank you, John.
before Hugh answers that, I think it's worth noting that we have a sports treasure in the studio today. Hugh McDonald has been responsible for so much of the sport development in this city, mm-hmm. And in our region. He has contacts right across the country. People call Hugh McDonald to bring events here, and it's just we're so lucky to have you in our community and running Sport Host. And our athletes are lucky to have you here. So it's great to have you here for a couple hours today.
Thank you, John. Mm-hmm. Those are very kind comments. It's drawing and attracting events, sport-related events, and athletes to the community. It has been an incredible success. The Canadian team was, I think this year, made up of about 255 athletes in that neighborhood. 15% are from Victoria, and that's not by accident. The environment here for training is the best in the country, and the coaching that they receive, the infrastructure that's available, most of which are as a result, whether they were built for the Commonwealth Games in Victoria in 94 or have been built since, it was because of the Games, mm-hmm. as legacy of the Games that the new Pacific Institute for Sport Excellence mm-hmm. Has been constructed. And so when we very proudly talk about 15% of our Olympic team coming from Victoria, that's 38 athletes of 63 or 4 that are coming from British Columbia. Mm-hmm. British Columbia, Victoria, is a highlight of British Columbia, but Vancouver obviously has similar environment. And so when you think about British Columbia as the first step in attracting events and athletes, mm-hmm. 25% of the team is from our province, mm-hmm. which is amazing.
That's crazy. That's brilliant. Yeah.
So basically, if I understand correctly, we have these legacy facilities, many of which were as a result of the Commonwealth Games. We're using those to become a training center for these athletes. And how do those facilities get maintained? Who is funding them? I mean, as an old public servant, we always used to get a little concerned when someone wanted to build something because it was very easy to build something, and everyone likes to put a plaque on things. But then you get into the whole issue of operating costs, and that's when it gets a lot less interesting. And usually the people who built them aren't around anymore to deal with that. So, what sort of facilities are we talking about? How are they supported? How are they funded? And how utilized are they?
That's your question, Bob, is so appropriate because many, many times I just saw a story on Athens from mm-hmm. the Olympics. And so many of their facilities are sitting idle. Their pool is, home to frogs apparently. And it's a shame. But, credit to the regional setup of the Commonwealth Games in Greater Victoria, I would have to say, because, for example, the track is now being maintained and it was left as a legacy to the University of Victoria, and they are taking care of it for the community. It's being used by school programs and many others. We've hosted the national championships there. We hosted the Olympic trials after the Commonwealth Games. It's probably at the point now, and you might want to talk to Clint Hamilton a little bit about it later in the show, where it needs some updating. But as a facility, it certainly hasn't been sitting as a white elephant. It is being used constantly, and there's a huge demand for it. Mm-hmm. The other wonderful facility that was a legacy, of course, was the Commonwealth Place pool. Mm-hmm. And that facility is being operated by the municipality of Saanich. Mm-hmm. It was brilliant in that I remember the media section of that facility is now the library. And from a community use point of view, mm-hmm. goes way beyond sport.
Exactly.
It's wonderful. We have Canadian Sports Center Pacific, and some of the coaches that are there working with the athletes on a regular basis. There are the Pacific Institute for Sport Excellence actually manages the offices in those facilities for coaches and trainers. So that facility is so well used. It's really quite amazing. And it's got a reputation in Canada as being the best and the fastest pool in the country. Hmm. I don't know what makes water fast, but that's the reputation that it has.
We just have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back. We'll keep talking to Hugh McDonald, Executive Director of Sports Host Victoria.
You want 9 holes of golf and a great meal for just $37? You got it. Highland Pacific Golf invites you to 9 and Dine, available Friday to Sunday after 4 p.m. Call 478-GOLF or book online at highlandpacificgolf.com.
You want weekend golf for your family for just $45? Done. Highland Pacific Golf invites you to family golf. 4 players, $45 after 4 p.m. Friday to Sunday, maximum 2 adults. Call 478-GOLF or book online at highlandpacificgolf.com.
Are you having problems with paparazzi? Do you have deer eating away your gardens? Maybe you just want to spruce up your driveway entrance. Harbor Door installs a full line of driveway gates and entry systems. Automated gates are custom designed and unique to your property, adding attractive architectural detail, privacy, and security. Harbor Door has been installing gate systems for over 25 years and has the expertise to coordinate all the details from start to finish. For all your garage door or gate needs, call Harbor Door or visit online at harbordoor.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Tucson, CEO of Megson Fitzpatrick Insurance Services. We love what we do, but we're even more passionate about why we do it. At Megson Fitzpatrick, we exist to improve the lives of our clients, team, and community. Whether it's how we manage the risk to clients' businesses and homes, enhance the lives of our team members and their families, or touch so many people in our community, thanks to you, we can make a difference. If you share our passion to improve lives and want to learn more, visit MegsonFitzpatrick.com/about-us.
Hi, this is Barry Bowman for Ross Place Retirement Residence. As you may know, Ross Place has completed a major renovation. They currently have suites starting at only $1,950 a month, including all meals. So if you or a member of your family are considering moving to a retirement residence, take a tour of Ross Place, and you'll be very surprised by the great room, movie theater, billiards room, and more. Respite suites are also available for $75 a day, including all meals. Call now to arrange a personal tour.
Have you been thinking about having a professionally designed sprinkler system installed? You'll want to enjoy your summer without dragging hoses and trying to water your valuable plantings and lawns properly. So trust the team at Halzer Service Irrigation to install a sprinkler system right the first time and on budget. Call 250-652-0112 today for a free estimate and to save up to 40% on your water bill. Let Halzer Service Irrigation talk to your plants, and they'll make every drop of water count.
Congestion in your throat? Take a lozenge. Congestion on the roads? Listen to us first with traffic. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. You're listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. Broadcasting from British Columbia's capital city and rebroadcasting on community and co-op radio stations in the Kootenays and Prince George, we're talking with Hugh McDonald, Executive Director of Sport Host Victoria. Hugh, let's talk a little bit about the benefits, the economic benefits in particular, of hosting games. It's whenever we saw it with Vancouver 2010 and we see it play out in other venues where, you know, the people supporting these games, particularly governments, start getting roasted and start talking about the huge benefits and everything else like that. I, for one, have never seen a study done on the economic benefits, actual economic benefits of hosting a major games. I'm not saying they don't exist, but so many of those benefits, it seems to me, are difficult to quantify. You know, the spinoffs in so many ways, but you know, this is basically what you're doing, and this is your business. You're looking to attract people here for these events. What sort of studies have you done that look at the benefits to the community?
Well, having studies available has become hugely important to the ability to identify and bid to bring events to the community without a forecast of what that impact is going to be. It makes it very difficult to gain the support that's required, not only from the use of facilities, but also for the infrastructure funding that's required. When the sport-related travel received the label of sport tourism, economic impact studies was one of the first issues to be dealt with. And it was because there's so many of them done independently across the country. So you have an event in Ottawa versus Victoria versus Vancouver. They all had the criteria for the studies were all just a little bit different. The template being used wasn't mm-hmm. consistent, so it was hard to compare apples to apples. And what has happened, the Canadian Sport Tourism Alliance has identified and created a study template that is used specifically for sport, and it can be used across the country so that we are in a position to be able to compare events to events. It's interesting to note the largest and probably most impactful event that we've hosted since the Commonwealth Games in 94 happened as a result of the community having a new arena built, the Save On Foods Memorial Center. The first sporting event to go into that facility was the World Curling Championships. And it had a huge impact on this community. We're very fortunate in that they're going to come back to Victoria next year. We're very excited about that. But just to give you an idea, an independent company was contracted to provide a study for us. They didn't have a problem if it was $1 or $20 million. Their responsibility was to come up with a number relative that would be defendable in public. And as a result of hosting the Ford World Curling Championships in 2005, they were here for 9 days. It was covered internationally on television and nationally, of course. $20.4 million was the impact that we had on Victoria. We know that it was broken down into specifics, and we know at least $1 million of that was provincial taxes, which would help justify an investment by the province. We know that $600,000 of that was federal tax, and there was even local municipal taxes that benefited as a result of our hosting that event. Now, we don't study every event because it's expensive to create an impact study. But having said that, we have selected 10 or 12 events over the years to zero in on that we can look and events that it's great to host an international event. It's great to host a national event, and it's wonderful to have provincial events. But what people don't realize is that this community is very active in hosting invitational events. So they created the Royal Victoria Marathon, the Times Column is 10K. Those events attract now over 10,000 runners annually to this community. So when you think about events mostly take place on the weekends. We've got 52 weekends in the year. Right now, Victoria has been very successful. We probably have about 38 events that take place on an annual basis. We have this radar screen out there that we're searching always for what we could host on a national and international level. But the consistency of having homegrown events and creating events is so important to the community. And for an example, the marathon used the same company to study their event in 2007. And the economic impact was $7 million from a two-day event, which is really quite incredible.
If we could sort of – that's fantastic. But sort of raise it now to this Olympic level, especially with the Olympics – the last day of the Olympics being today. How does one measure the sort of billions of dollars of investment? Is the Vancouver experience – has it been beneficial for BC? Has it worked for Victoria? Have we seen some of that impact come back? What is your opinion on on how when we get to that sort of money being spent. I'm hearing folks talking about London and when does that investment pay off? Have there been studies justifying that huge amount of money being spent?
Well, specifically to the event and a very short-term nature of the Olympics and Commonwealth Games when we hosted them, you can put a number on what is being spent relative directly to that event. But what you can't do, and what a lot of when you get to the level of Olympics and Commonwealth Games and others of that nature, Pan Am Games, the impact goes on for years and years afterwards. And we know that from Victoria. I mean, we know that we put Victoria on the map because of those games. And then for years and years, people were coming back and saying, well, I was competing there or I was visiting relative to those games. And I just knew there was so much more to the region. We had to come back for our holiday. And we know that's happening. But you know what? There isn't really a study that captures all that information on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge. Maybe there's a possibility of that happening. And so in the same way that Sport Tourism finally decided to create an impact study, it's possible to create a model that might capture some of that information, but I'm not familiar with it at this point.
I think that's the challenge for public officials when they go to justify the hosting of these events and these games is that, you know, in a time of scarce resources and accountability and transparency and everything else, they can't really point their finger to a dollar amount. And I'm not saying they should have to, but it becomes very challenging. I mean, you look at the difficulty our former premier had leading up to Vancouver in terms of defending, the expenditures and in terms of what the benefit was going to be. I mean, he really couldn't, provide what some people would consider to be an adequate answer to what the benefit was going to be. And I think that's a real challenge for politicians today when they're defending public expenditures.
No question. And they're constantly being asked to do that and they're constantly being approached to assist with attracting. For example, we partner with the province on a number of events. The tough part of it is this industry has become so competitive in the last 10 years that we're competing with Kamloops to mm-hmm. to attract events, and the province is competing with Ontario and Manitoba and Alberta, and so the package is critical, and we need that kind of financial support, but we're now being able to show where that investment is paying off, and even directly back in Texas. Mm-hmm. With the money that is being spent to host an event, the province is benefiting directly from the taxes that are being paid.
Very quickly, John, you had a question.
Well, I can see where you're coming from, Bob, in terms of trying to find criteria to measure a return on investment. I can assure you that instead of 18 medals and we come out of these Olympics with 3, mm-hmm. there would be an uproar. The country would be crying for why can't we get more medals, something akin to what's happening to Australia right now. So what are the measurements? I'd certainly like to talk more about that later on.
Yeah, and I think we will later because I'm really talking about, comparing these expenditures and the return on these expenditures to the pressure on healthcare, for example, and public expenditures and deficits and debts and
well, that's because you're a public policy guy.
Exactly.
There's an emotional piece to this that also, how do you measure that?
Well, precisely, and that's my point is that increasingly when resources are scarce, people expect a precise measure. We just have to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back. We'll be joined by Clint Hamilton, Director of Athletics. Hugh's going to stay with us in the studio.
The end of season clear out is on now at Pacific Fireplace, your electric fireplace store and more. Come in and check out the massive savings on all remaining gas and propane barbecues and fire pits. Pacific Fireplace has the finest brand names like Jackson Grills, Dimplex Barbecues, and Outdoor Fire Pits, and they're clearing out at the most attractive prices of the year. But only while quantities last. Spend less, get more for outdoor living during the end of season clear out at Pacific Fireplace, your electric fireplace store and more, 2189 Keating Crossroad.
Joan and Bob here from Heirloom Linens.
As your local source for twin extra long sheets and back to school bedding, busy mom and dads have come to trust Heirloom Linens to have the quality and selection they depend on for the past 17 years.
Along with specially priced Queen and King Egyptian cotton sheet sets and feather duvets, we also accept competitors' coupons. So visit heirloomlinens.com and make a back to school wish list of your own.
That's the one and only Heirloom Linens in Broadmead Village.
We only sound expensive.
The Royal Museum Shop. Intriguing and unique.
Where did you find that cute mammoth plush?
The Royal Museum Shop. It's a birthday present for my niece. And I bought this beautiful jewelry crafted by a local artist as a memento of my visit to the museum.
There's something for everyone at the Royal Museum Shop. Clothing, jewelry, books, from postcards to original artwork. Many items with a distinctly BC flavor. There's no admission fee and your purchases support the Royal BC Museum. Whatever the occasion, memories begin at the Royal Museum Shop.
Shop with confidence at Save On Foods. We're priced right. Super Warehouse packs of fresh top sirloin grilling steak, aged at least 14 days and guaranteed tender, just $3.99 a pound. Or simply orange or apple juice, 1.75 liters, now at half price. Plus, for exclusive offers on products you want, sign up at SaveOnFoods.com. Save On Foods, BC's very own since 1915.
Right. Kayaking is excellent.
You know what else is great? That whale.
What?
Don't panic. It's way the heck out there. You'll be fine. Sorry, dude.
I'm good. I'm all good. No worries.
Some things are closer than you think, like the JBI Pub and Restaurant at the James Bay Inn. Come by for breakfast, lunch, or dinner and experience great homestyle cooking with fresh ingredients made from scratch. The JBI Pub and Restaurant at the James Bay Inn. Really good. Really close. Corner of Government and Toronto.
This is Dave Dixon on The Next Show. We'll have a wrap-up of London 2012. How did Canada do overall? Plus, how is BC's fruit crop doing this summer? Is there trouble ahead?
Dave Dixon, weekdays 1 to 3 on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. You're listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority, broadcasting from British Columbia's capital city and rebroadcasting on community and co-op radio stations in the Kootenays and Prince George. We've been talking with Hugh McDonald, Executive Director of Sport Host Victoria, who's going to stay in the studio with us. Now on the line, we have a gentleman I normally know as Jake's dad, but today we're going to let him do his other job, Mr. Clint Hamilton, Director of Athletics at the University of Victoria. Welcome to the show, Clint.
Good to be here.
The Clint, tell us a little bit about what you Vic athletes have been doing in London.
Certainly very proud of the accomplishments of our Vikes athletes. We had nine current or former Vikes competing, as well as a coach, Brent Faulkner, who's involved in Athletics Canada Middle Distance Program, serving as a coach. And of those nine Vikes, six of them reached the podium. So we're very proud, as I'm sure all Canadians are, of those accomplishments. Doug Sisman and Gabe Bergen were in the men's eight rowing boat that won silver, and Rachel Vinberg and Darcy Marquardt were in the women's eight. Mm-hmm. Of course, I think all of Victoria is very proud of Ryan Cochran and his silver medal, and Ryan swam with the Vikes last year. Mm-hmm. And then most recently, Richard Weinberger in that tremendous 10-kilometer open water race brought home the bronze. So we're very very proud of those accomplishments, and really that continues what for us has been an important legacy of UVic contributing to Canada's Summer Olympic successes over the years.
Great. Well, tell me a little bit about, you know, the role universities in general, UVic in particular, play in the development of youth athletes and how that's evolved over time.
Well, I think Canadian universities, though not always well understood, I think make an enormous contribution to sport in Canada on a number of different levels. When you consider the resources and what it takes to support high-level athletes, and I guess we're not talking just high-level athletes, we're talking about sport in general, but when you think about the coaching requirements, the training and competition opportunities that are required to support athletics, the research, the facilities. When you look across the country, I think the Canadian University Sport is now, I think we're up to 52 members, but you're talking about a combined probably close to $1 billion in sport infrastructure. And on an annual basis, probably very conservatively, $100 million a year are being invested by those universities into sport. Obviously, supporting the student athletes on their campuses, but like a number of universities, like the University of Victoria, we take very seriously the investment we make in supporting high-performance athletes who are really striving to be the best that they can be, not just in Canada and on the Canadian university stage, but internationally, as evidenced by the individuals that I spoke earlier. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about, and again, I say not well understood, but when you really look at that from coast to coast, and you look at the investment Canadian universities are making, you take a look at the investment in full-time coaching resource, the investment that are being made in training and providing high-level competitions both nationally and internationally through things like the World University Games, the commitment that universities are making to sport research, providing facilities, both current and as is the case at UVic, we're very excited and optimistic about the possibility of a new athletic and recreation facility opening or starting to be constructed, hopefully in the very near future. You're talking about a very powerful contribution that Canadian universities are making to sport.
Okay, help me out with and maybe explain how, from your perspective, how this role fits into the university's mandate as a post-secondary education institution, which is largely publicly funded.
Absolutely, and I think the mandate of the university, certainly speaking to the University of Victoria, pursuing excellence in all endeavors is a fundamental principle of the university. And when you look at athletics, really our philosophy is no different. Universities make tremendous investments in research and academic. They actively recruit the brightest minds. And from an athletic standpoint, we view it very similarly. We want to attract the best and brightest student athletes to our campus and really support them to the best possible extent that we can in terms of them realizing their potential, obviously both athletically and academically. So the pursuit of high-performance athletics and excellence fits completely and totally within the mandate of a university that's focused on the same.
Mm-hmm. Now, things have changed. Things have evolved. I mean, universities, athletics programs, they used to be the poor cousins. They used to be looked down upon, I think, by the academy a little bit. There was a time in this country not that long ago where, you could not provide athletic or assistance to athletes, any kind of financial assistance to athletes attending your institution. And that has changed pretty significantly over the last 30, 35 years. Why is that? What has been the driving force behind that change, that to bring athletics more into the mainstream within the university?
I think there are probably some people out there that might think that years ago there was a stronger commitment to athletics. But I think one of the things that be a perception or reality that Canadian universities deal with is really the giant to the south. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the NCAA Division I. And I know from the standpoint this perception that if you are a top Canadian student athlete, that in order to pursue your sport at the highest level, perhaps on an international level, that you need to travel south to pursue your post-secondary education and career. And really, there's not a lot of evidence, quite frankly, to support that. Over the last 20 years, there's actually been a trend, and thank goodness for that tremendous performance by the women's soccer team earlier this week to win that bronze medal and break a pretty significant run of a lack of performance by team sports at summer games. I think it's the first medal since 1936 that a team sport has won at the Olympics. But really, to my point, there hasn't been a lot of evidence to suggest that the talent drain, if you will, going to the United States has manifested itself in international performance. Mm-hmm. And from my standpoint, I think one of the neat opportunities and real opportunities, and one of the trends I'm seeing right now, there's a number of universities in Canada, both locally and or at least regionally in Western Canada and nationally, that are really taking a look at what they can do to offer and drive what I would term a high-performance sport agenda on their campus, which really is aimed at wanting to attract and support top Canadian student athletes who are very serious and committed to wanting to pursue athletics at the highest level. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing is, and wouldn't it be, you know, really within the mandate when you talk about Victoria, and you talk about what the University of Victoria can do in combination with other items like facilities such as Sanders Commonwealth Pool, and with entities like Canadian Sports Center Pacific and the Pacific Institute of Sport Excellence. Regionally, we have a lot to offer in terms of supporting top-level student-athletes. And University of Victoria, by virtue of our location and our region and the availability of other facilities and supports, have a real opportunity going forward to synergize and bring maximal levels of support to athletes that want to achieve at the highest level.
John, you had a question?
Yeah. Hi, Clint. John Jurisic here.
Hi, John.
Hi. I think we've been talking a lot about how this money and funding impacts the high performance folks. How about just the average student that's going to UVic this day, today? And we start to talk about wellness and fitness and how all of this helps a student go through the day. I drive by UVic. I drive by all these facilities, and frankly, they're full. They're always full with somebody playing and doing something. And can you speak to that? I think that's a hugely important part of a university and a college's life, student life.
Oh, absolutely, John. And obviously, so far we've been talking and focusing a lot on high-performance athletics, but we know at UVic, a campus now that's grown to some 20,000 students, that our students expect and want to utilize our facilities and services at one of the highest levels relative to their counterparts across the country. So when you talk about the benefits of a healthy, active lifestyle and the benefits that has in terms of supporting students and their success, as well as opportunities to compete in our recreational programs like the intramural programs, the club programs, instructional programs, and the benefits in terms of what that does to complement a student's education and contribute to the overall experience a student has. It's very powerful. In fact, for a number of students, they expect and look for those types of programs and services as they make their decision on where they're going to go to school. So, at the University of Victoria, we have well over 10,000 students that access our programs and facilities. And, they expect that, and they expect a high level of service. So when you see our facilities, they're not just UVic students. There's a number of community users that utilize our facilities. But when you look at our facilities and our programs, they're in high demand, and they're an important part of a UVic student's experience.
Well, you hit on something there I just wanted to pick up. We don't have a lot of time, just briefly. And that's the extent to which the broader community gets to benefit from what UVic is doing in this area. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Well, I think obviously at UVic we take very seriously the role we have in the community, and for Vikes Athletics and Recreation, we're looking to respond as best we can. I think there's a number of examples you've touched. We've touched on facilities, Bob. I heard Hugh's comments earlier with respect to Centennial Stadium. So the investment we're making in facilities, we know obviously from a priority standpoint we need to have facilities for our students, but also increasingly there's demand from our community to access our facilities, and we do as best we can. We have over 200 hours a week that the community accesses our various facilities for a number of programs. When you look at the Vikes program and you think about the role models, these are student-athletes. There's 300 student-athletes a year that compete with Vikes Athletics and Rec. They're in the community. Increasingly, there's a demand for us to provide programming to support various sports in the region. We're involved in a number of high-performance academies or centers of excellence where local regional athletes are being coached by our coaches and our student athletes, giving them, you know, direct experience with what I would suggest are outstanding role models in terms of student athletes that train upwards of 20 to 30 hours a week and also maintain their academic studies at a high level and be involved with the community. I think we're talking about some outstanding role models. And of course, when you look at, you know, think about the various sport programs or sport leadership in the community and think about how many people you know that have graduated from the University of Victoria. So mm-hmm. the impact that that the university makes in terms of sport leadership and coaching and mm-hmm. volunteerism, it's very powerful. So the university takes that very very seriously, obviously, and I would argue makes an enormous impact in the community with respect to sport and recreation.
Well, good. Well, we're going to have to end it there, Clint. I thank you for being on the show. You can go back to the basketball game now. And
Spain's given the U.S. all they can handle.
Oh, well, we do like to see that, don't we? You have a great day. We just have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Dr. Peter Rehor, Dean of the Center for Sport and Exercise Education at Camosun College.
Hey Victoria, Brian Higgins here, and it's warehouse cleaning time at Arona Bay West Express. This is our biggest clearance event ever with huge discounts on overstocks and discontinued items. Best prices ever, save 25, 50, even 60% on items store-wide. For outdoor living, a six-piece patio set was $178, now just $119. For all your home projects, come in and get it done during the warehouse clearance at Arona Bay West Express. Doing it right 7 days a week at Bay and Wilson in Vic West.
What the? Wife, isn't it time you got my dinner ready? You've been sitting in front of that learning box for hours.
I'm on redbarnmarket.ca. Red, finding you all the fresh produce and meat that you can't get enough of. Gonna have to let out that there waste on your pants again.
Ooh, looky. They've got all them weekly specials up there on that there webinar.
A mighty fine flyer. Good thing there's lots of pictures, eh, Red? Not too strong with the book learning is my husband.
Get to redbarnmarket.ca.
Red Barn.
For less than the cost of an apple a day, Thompson Roof Treatment can keep the roof of an average house free of moss for its remaining life. Make a healthy choice for your roof with Thompson's exclusive Lifetime Moss Control Program. A proactive approach with early treatment will maximize the life of your roof, resulting in lower maintenance costs. Call Thompson Roof Treatment and ask about their Lifetime Moss Control Program. Protect your roof and its warranty with Thompson Roof Treatment. 385-3124. 385-3124.
CFAX 1070 is proud of its community involvement, and golf tournaments are a great way to help raise funds for important community causes. So tee it up and let it fly at these upcoming events.
Cowichan Canadian Tire tee off for the Tour Golf Tournament is Tuesday, September 18th at Cowichan Golf and Country Club. Register for a day of golf, barbecue, lunch, dinner, an auction, and more, all in support of Tour de Rock.
Find out more at CFAX1070.com. CFAX 1070, involved and committed to our community.
Hi, I'm James McKenzie from Monk Office. As an island-grown company, Monk Office believes in making a difference in our community, including minimizing our impact on our environment. We believe little changes in everyday habits can make a big difference. Take a look at your office supplies. Why not use a pen made from recycled plastic or recycled paper in your printer? Check out all our earth-friendly options in any of our stores or at monk.ca. Together we make a difference.
Very helpful. Most helpful.
Right here at home.
You don't just love sports, you live sports. And CFAX 1070 knows the score. Junior, amateur, pro. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. You're listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority, broadcasting from British Columbia's capital city and rebroadcasting on community and co-op radio stations in the Kootenays and Prince George. We're talking about sport in Victoria today, sport in society in general. In the studio joining us right now is Dr. Peter Rehor, Dean of the Center for Sport and Exercise Education at Camosun College. Peter is widely published and has conducted many seminars on exercise, fitness, and health internationally. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, and you sent us a background paper, which I read through, and there was a phrase in there or a paragraph in there that really caught my attention. The quote was, "If our elite athlete taxpayer-funded programs are not aimed at enhancing quality of life of each and every Canadian, what are they aimed at then? There seems to be little value in being the best unless the victory represents much more than a few seconds on the podium or a trophy or a gold medal." Let's start by getting you to talk a little bit about that.
Well, Bob, you can look at my background. I spent about, 40 years, to be involved, with instructing or coaching and competing and studying and sport and physical activity. And especially when I look at, my pathway being the, the athlete under the communist, the system, as a child, and see the ideology of communism, behind the sport and using the sport, for, political advancement and so on. And then as a, 18-year-old, moving to Canada and have a experience as an athlete and as a supporter of sport and physical activity, and then moving to United States, and being professor and moving to Australia and, the sport system, the 10 years later. So when I look at, across, the whole package, I realize that, the dreams and purposes were different in at every regime and every country. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of similarities, but there are many different, nominators, if you wish, in that relationship. And I concluded that really the sport and especially international sport, the role of the sport is much deeper and much more comprehensive that we're giving, the credit for. Mm-hmm. And, the statement of each and every athlete, I think, yes, you want to be the best in a country and you want to be best in the world, but I think it's more important insight in, every heart of the athlete to be best for a country, also.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about Camosun and what's going on. We just had Clint Hamilton on from University of Victoria, Director of Athletics. Tell me a little bit about, the programs and the institute, of course, at Camosun. And I guess what I'm interested in is how these fit into that institution's public mandate to be an educational institution, and where the benefits are both within the institution and in the broader community.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have been with Camosun now for 7 years, and it's been about 10 years ago when I was contacted by I used to work in Ireland, in Courtney, the school district, and in British Columbia in generally, before I left to United States, and Australia. So I had about 20-year window, being away, from British Columbia. So when I was contacted, by my ex-colleagues and friends, which most of them you probably know, Dennis Kabush, father of Jeff Kabush, and, people like that. And they said, there is a dream, in Vancouver Island. It's called Pacific Sport Institute. Mm-hmm. And the dream actually is going to be not only the building. The dream is going to be a new way of dealing, with the Canadian sport and its future and participation and everything else I believed in. Would you like to, play the part in it? And I said, yes, I would. I had a great job on a beach, at New South Wales, at University of Newcastle, which is, gorgeous place. My, apartment was on a beach and the life was good. I was a tenured professor, so, it's but I figured it's worth of getting involved in. And during that time, it was a kind of marriage, between Pacific Sport, Victoria and Camosun College. Mm-hmm. And dream, came out, from two leaders of those particular organizations. And And I respected, you know, the both of them, and I knew of both of them, you know, because their backgrounds and Roger Skilling was involved in the sports, you know, when I, you know, was a young man in British Columbia, and I heard about, you know, Liz Ashton, you know, many times, you know, who was the president of Commotion College. So what has happened after, you know, about 10 years ago was that the dream came up, and when I arrived 7 years ago, the Commotion College got involved, you know, behind the Pacific Institute for Sport Excellence, which is, you know, that was called, you know, right now, and made a commitment not only to help to build this nexus, you know, of athletic and academic excellence, but also build a new and innovative programming, which would do both, you know, to support, you know, our, you know, elite athletes and sports, you know, from the psychological and physiological perspectives, but also build a new programming which would help to increase Canadian participation in physical activity.
Okay. How does this infect the community, the Victoria community outside of the boundaries of the college in terms of benefits?
Well, you know, it's I have a kind of cheeky expression here that what my faculty and I are trying to do is to build kind of, you know, a new animals, you know, a new army of young women and young men, you know, who will be ready actually to step into the community and provide the services, if especially in area of the sport, you know, enhancement and connecting the sport to health and physical and participation, but also in the areas of exercise and diet and chronic disease management and the seniors, you know, independence. So those are kind of area. So I think we do have a direct already, because we have graduates already working, you know, within Victoria and, you know, across the world, you know, right now. We like to believe that.
I think that's a good point to work on a little bit here, because I had stated earlier that I was a triathlete in training. I am not.
We know that, John.
my particular age group, this issue of wellness and chronic disease and how fitness fits into our lifestyle is crucially important. And I think taking what's happening on TV today and breaking it down in the community and getting down to where, how does it help somebody like me, is very important. Just very briefly talk about how what you're doing can do that, no?
What we're going to have to do is Peter's going to stay with us. We're going to talk about more about this later. My brief answer, John, is that you're beyond help. maybe we can decide later whether there's any help at all. We're just going to take a quick commercial break, do the news. When we come back, Peter's going to stay with us. Hugh's still in the studio. We're going to be speaking to Mayor Stu Young from Langford.